This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week, in the first of three live Compass 2018 election specials, host Charlie Burmant interviews Republican John Cook and Democrat Greg Brotherton, who are vying in November to win the 3rd District seat being vacated by County Commissioner Kathleen Clare. So now, let's go inside the Compass.
Live from KPTZ FM 91.9, this is The Compass. I'm Charlie Burmant in the first of three political discussions. This week we have, as the intro told you, John Cook and Greg Brotherton, who are both vying for the seat on the Jefferson County Commissioner Board of Commissioners that is being vacated by Kathleen Clare. We have, let me first do a mic test here. Greg Brotherton, say hello to our audience.
Thanks a lot for having me, Charlie.
Okay. So, John Cook, come on down. What do you got to say?
Hi.
Is that working? Is it coming through?
I don't know.
Is it coming through now?
Am I here
yeah,
now?
Yeah, okay, cool. Got to press the, they moved the buttons. Okay, so, the election is about 5 weeks. You guys beat the other guys in the primary.
Yeah, it's a sprint to the finish.
Yeah, right. Okay, let me take care of one technical problem here. Okay, so the biggest issue in the county, or one of them, seems to be the shooting range. There is a policy being developed by Jefferson County. There's a huge meeting tonight at the courthouse, hundreds of people expected to appear. I'd like to each of you take a minute to say what your expectations are for this meeting and where do you stand on the issue. Let's start with Greg.
Yeah, I will see everyone at the meeting tonight. It's going to be a really important meeting, and I do want to remind people that public forum is, you know, online as well, and that's a from the previous public forums, a good way to make your opinion known. I support, this is an ordinance for health and safety. It's not addressing land use or anything, which is addressed in existing land use regulations. And I think it's important to have a robust ordinance that protects the health and safety of the community and the environment. I think we have a real opportunity here, and I'm curious to see what people are saying. I read some of the letters in the Leader with chagrin, I guess, at the thought that this might undermine the existing sportsmen's club. And I think it's important to maintain training facilities for our law enforcement and legal shooting ranges. I live out in Quilsing, and I know exactly what, you know, unregulated shooting ranges are. And I want to find a safe place for people to shoot in Jefferson County. I am hesitant about having, you know, military training on commercial shooting ranges in Jefferson County. I think opens the door to a loss of local control once you invite the military in. So that's a hesitation that I have.
Okay, John, what's your viewpoint here?
Well, we have people on one side that are very much wanting to restrict and control the gun range, and then you have on the other side a person who wants to, he doesn't care about his neighbors, he doesn't care about anything, he just cares about himself and wants to get his business going.
Are we talking about whom?
Shall be nameless.
Oh, well, it can't be nameless.
It's a proposed site.
Okay.
But there's room in the middle for discussion, and we need to bring people in to communicate this. I think it was put together without a lot of communication. They had both sides there, but the people weren't allowed to voice their opinions. I think the cost of the current gun range is collateral damage that should not happen. They should be grandfathered in. They have figured that, the club itself has figured that it'll cost them like $1 million to build up and meet the requirements. And, you know, a small nonprofit, that's ridiculous. They can't come up with that kind of money. The obvious answer is an indoor range. So why doesn't the county build one?
Okay, so some people on Facebook have turned this into a Second Amendment argument, kind of politicizing it and expanding it. Do you think that's true or not true?
Well, I don't really think it's a Second Amendment thing where they're controlling guns, but I think that it will lessen our availability to safely teach our kids, teach our wives, and have our police practiced.
Okay, so you're talking about restricting gun ranges would cause that?
I think, well, I'm talking about shutting down the current gun range.
Oh, I see.
That would have an adverse effect on all of us.
Yeah, Greg, has this become a Second Amendment argument at all?
No, I mean, it's really easy to conflate different issues, but no, this is not a Second Amendment issue. You know, this is it's a health and safety issue. What are the impacts to your neighbors? And this is really the jurisdiction of the county commissioners, and the Second Amendment certainly is not. So, no, not a Second Amendment issue. I think that we do have a lot of conversations to happen still. I think the public process has been pretty strong, and I'm eager to hear people's opinions tonight.
So we were talking about when you got in, and we were talking informally about the politicization. I hate big words, of the county commissioner's race. Now, it is a partisan race, but I'm wondering how much this political madness at the federal level is trickling down. For instance, if, with the Judge Kavanaugh problem, there are people on both sides who are very, very passionate. So let's say the Democrats, one party prevails. Are people going to make their voting choices based on whether the fact that you're Democrat or Republican?
Well, I hope not. You know, I mean, it is a partisan race. I served in the Quilcene School Board previously, which is a nonpartisan race, and I served with, you know, very hardcore Republicans and very liberal Democrats, and I think I really developed the skills to work across those boundaries. The toxic national dialogue is one of the reasons that really gave me pause to throw my hat in this race, because I don't believe that that's constructive for anyone. I think that we need to work together, and I think there's very little daylight that separates us in Jefferson County about what's good for the county and what we need to work on.
So, John, you're a Republican. You told me when you won the primary that you were a Trump supporter. So how does that get in the way, or how does that help you in your local race?
Well, I think that we need to get, at the county level, we need to get past the political posturing. We need to focus on issues. Donald Trump, this is a blue county and a blue state. He wouldn't care less about us. And the state even, we're, as chairman of the Republican Party, we have problems getting them to even notice us. So I think we need to focus on the problems that we have in our county. There are, on both sides, people that vote the alphabet, and I personally don't think that's right. We need to vote for issues. We need to vote for the best person for the job.
But you still have a bit of a more uphill climb than a Democrat may.
Yeah. There's a lot of independence here, so we're hoping that they will see that we need some changes in the county. We need a broader focus in the Board of Commissioners and not just a narrow focus on the way things have been run.
Okay, so one of the rallying cries I hear a lot, I believe mostly from Republicans, but probably from both sides, is that the District 3, which is allegedly more conservative does not get properly represented and are rolled over by the people in Port Townsend. So, Greg, is that true?
I understand the feeling. You know, I felt sort of disenfranchised as a South County resident myself often. And I, you know, one of the reasons I'm running is to make sure that our county works the same for all the residents of Jefferson County. You know, I think the, you know, with the county seat being at the same place in our one city, it does create a situation. But I'm here to make sure there's transparency and that everyone gets an equal share or equal shake. I think that the, you know, one of the issues if we just had, you know, the charter government, say, is you end up with log rolling with just three commissioners. It's a real issue where just two people make a quorum, so you can't really have committees like we did in the school board when you have two or three school board or two school board members on it. But I think there's problems with any situation. If we're just beholden to the district we were from, then we end up, you know, log rolling and throwing favors back and forth because two people can make a decision for the county. So I think having us all beholden to the entire county is going to create more responsible governance for Jefferson County.
Okay, John?
I go over Walker Mountain, and there are a lot of really upset people that they are not the third wheel, they're the fourth wheel. You go over to Western Jefferson County, and they are just leave us alone. Just, that's the best advice we can give you. Just leave us alone. So there is a lot of disenfranchised people that do not feel represented. When our representative votes with the other two commissioners every time, are we really being represented? Because it is a lot more conservative out in District 3.
Well, that is interesting. I covered the county commissioners actively for 6 years, and now kind of from a back row. There aren't very many dissenting votes. I mean, once or twice, David Sullivan has cast a dissenting vote. I don't know about the current commissioners, but what does that say when everybody agrees? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Greg?
I think that you have to look at the way the system works, you know? I mean, they're not making decisions in a vacuum, and usually they have, before they're making a decision, they have public input, and I was really impressed at how DCD, you know, tabulates and coalesces all the public comments into a real digestible document. And they're getting recommendations from their staff, and they're having, and yeah, they're working to work collaboratively. You know, and when I was at Evergreen, I learned a lot of skills in group dynamics and working with people. And consensus-based leadership is doesn't mean that everyone's not represented, but that you keep working through a problem until you come to a solution that works for everyone. I mean, there are the problems that affect our county, you know, housing, economic development. There's pretty much we agree on, and you know the best course of action is not something that we agree on. And you know, I thought it was great that in Prop 1 they gave that voice to the people and they voted against it. And I think you need to listen to the people when they speak, and that's the job of the county and the county commissioners is to represent all the people of Jefferson County.
And John, is it a good thing or bad thing that we're mostly unanimous votes?
Well, it depends on what the issue they're voting on. Like, they all voted to support Prop 1. And obviously, the people, especially out in District 3, like 75% were against it. But yet, they all voted for it. So an issue like that, I don't think it's a good thing. I think somebody needs to stand up and say, well, this isn't right for my representatives, for the people I represent.
Okay, so your current occupation is you're a custodian, and is that part-time or full-time?
I'm a full-time custodian for Jefferson County. I'm also a substitute teacher.
Okay, so and does that mean you work at the courthouse at night cleaning stuff up? Or
right now I'm at the sheriff's office in jail.
Oh, okay. Hope you can get out in time for the election. I guess this kind of takes a little bit of wind out of my question, but I'm wondering, is, you know, had your working as a custodian in the courthouse, what kind of inner knowledge has that given you about the workings of county government?
Well, I pretty much know everybody in the county. So if I have a question for DCD, I know who to go talk to. If I have a question, I can go talk to Sheriff Stankel. It's, you know, I know them more on a personal level than I need to go talk to somebody in DCD. So I think that gives me an advantage.
Do you ever find things in the wastebasket that are interesting that maybe add to your insight? Not that you would necessarily use them in public, but maybe it gives you a little bit of extra knowledge or extra advantage?
That you're not supposed to do and all that stuff. I did find some of the spray stuff that you spray for, you know, causes tears, pepper spray. And I sprayed it in the trash can and pushed my trash can, came up in my face and made me start crying. But other than that, I'm not going there.
So, Greg, you have a number of businesses. How will those businesses, educate you in terms of being a commissioner? Mm-hmm. And I guess the other question that many people might be asking is, what happens if you win? Are you divesting yourself?
Sure. I've got lots of experiences that have prepared me for this. You know, I've opened four businesses in rural Jefferson County, as well as built a house, failed to build another house, and served on the Quilcene School Board. And the Quilcene School Board gave me a lot of the skills that are really most applicable to this position, I think. But the working as a businessman, going through the permit process again and again and again, gave me a lot of insight as to where our county's working real well, where it's not working so well. And I've also, you know, it's a big job, and I'm spending a lot of time. I've toured with every department, you know, from the treasurer to the auditor to the clerk, and learning how all of these departments function together. And you know, our government is very high functioning right now, and it's going to take a lot of time just to learn all of the responsibilities and the interactions between the commissioner's office and the other electeds and appointed in the county. But I look forward to that challenge. And I am going to step back from my role at the local 101, the three businesses there that we run. My wife will take over management of the whole complex, and I will stop taking pay. I'm not going to divest myself of the investment. I hope it still goes well. Though, of course, as anything that comes up, I will err on the side of caution and listen to, you know, the civil prosecuting attorney and recuse myself from anything that is a conflict with my commissioner duties.
John, do you know of a publication called the Port Townsend Free Press?
Uh-huh.
And have you seen any of the coverage they've given Greg?
Yeah.
And what is your opinion of that?
Well, Greg's in a business that is legal now, and I just worry about our kids and how that effect has on them. As a teacher and a wrestling coach, I've seen kids make the wrong choices and go the wrong way, and it does affect their lives. So I would be worried about them seeing that portrayed as an okay thing. Our drug use, or not drug use, but alcohol and drug use is higher in Jefferson County than Washington State, and that's not a good thing.
And have you had anything to do with this website in terms of supplying them information or supporting them in any way?
No.
Okay.
It's done by Jim Scarantino, and he helped us in Prop 1, but other than that, he kind of checked out after that.
So, Greg, I know you've declined to comment on this for various reasons. I don't want to carry your water for you, but I was hoping that you could just maybe respond to some of the assertions that have been made about your inability to be a supporter of marijuana and so on. For, you know, making laws for the kids and so on. So
sure.
Go ahead.
I'm a big supporter of regulation of cannabis and alcohol and tobacco and all the drugs that we have chosen to accept as a society. I think regulation is much better than prohibition in a black market, which creates, I believe, more accessibility and turns everyone that uses into criminals. I'm a strong believer of regulation, and we have had over 50 compliance checks, and anything that we do, we proactively contact our liquor control board investigator before we do it and make sure that it's okay, you know, whether it be a video or a sign or anything like that. In our household, it's an adult, herb, the same way that alcohol is adult too. I think putting it, you know, hiding it in the closet is not the way to prepare children for adulthood. So I believe that I can be a responsible person compartmentalizing the different parts of my life. And I have a 10-year-old daughter. I'm very interested. I understand the health risks, especially to people under 25. And I'm a big proponent of the Board of Health and Public Health's, anti-youth campaigns. And I would participate in those the same way I would with alcohol or tobacco or any of the other legal drugs that I sell to adults.
Yeah, this website, though, they've run this picture of you with a bong.
Yeah.
And so that it seems, you know, I just want to step back a bit and say these guys seem to, you know, be doing advocacy piece mm-hmm. rather than an objective piece. And it's a little like a lot of the stuff you see on the national level where you read someone's article about the Democrats or the Republicans and they've already taken a position.
Right. So, and that's why I'm not participating, because, I mean, they're just looking for sound bites to support their point. And I find it a bit of a muckraking tempest in a teapot. But I did make that video. I posted it up there. I'm most embarrassed because I was 20 pounds overweight at the time that scene was shot. But, I wish, if you're going to judge me on that, I mean, I am actively trying to destigmatize it because I don't think it should be hidden in the closet. It should be used for a responsible adult recreational and medical use. And, if you want to judge me on it, I would just ask you, watch the 40 minute, the whole thing, which talks about lobbying and fundraising for small businesses and the advantages of the cannabis industry to Washington being all local and keeping all investment within Washington. So I think it's not perfect, and I think more prepared than most people to understand and appreciate the health risks and the problems that could potentially affect our society and our county.
Okay, but so that bong picture, what was the context for that?
That was as a still from a web series I made in 2015. Talking about going through the process of going from the black market to the regulated market. And I and lots of other people consume cannabis in it, and it's behind a 21 and over, blinker on our website, and then it's tagged as adult content on YouTube. But it is out there, and I could have taken it down before I began my race, but I'm not ashamed of it, and I think that shame is something that we really need to work against. So I don't think that it precludes me from being a responsible member. I'm not smoking pot right now.
Okay, so that was real cannabis rather than stunt cannabis in the picture?
That was real cannabis in a narrative, no, that was real cannabis.
Okay, so, John, you were recently the subject of a public disclosure complaint by, I guess I believe, a Democrat, saying that you auctioned off tours of the clock tower in Jefferson County Courthouse, raising money for the Republican Party, and you ended up raising a whopping $48. You responded to this saying that you did not do anything illegal, but there is the impression that using public facilities to further one's campaign is not the best of things. So can you respond to that?
First off, it was for the Republican Party. It wasn't for my campaign. Mm-hmm. And I talked to, because you have to go through Michael Haas, and I talked to Michael Haas, and he said, yeah, I give tours all the time too. And so, it probably was the stickling point was I used my county key to get in the door. And that's the only thing, because, they offer clock tower tours all the time. So,
But they're free and there's no yeah. strings attached and they're most people aren't raising money for causes.
Yeah. I don't think I've given it was supposedly my knowledge of the clock and that we were auctioning off, you know, because I give tours to people for free all the time. I've taken relatives, I've taken friends, I've taken people I don't even know up there. So.
And so, but you've never used it as a fundraising tool before?
No.
Would you do it again?
Probably not, no.
Okay, so so you kind of maybe admit a little bit of, again, I don't want to, do you think this was a misjudgment?
Probably, for, you know, the PDC is very specific on what is okay, you know, for the Jefferson County Republicans, and I probably tiptoed the line there.
Yeah. Okay, so we're winding up lightning round. What do you expect the biggest challenge to be when you take office in January? John, go first.
A sewer system in Hadlock. That there is so much writing on that, so much. We need housing, but they need a sewer system. We need to bring businesses in. They need a sewer system. That is the huge thing that will be something that we need to have happen.
Right, but we've been talking about that for, you know, years.
Yeah.
And well, it seems to boil down to a financial problem.
Yeah, and they're reevaluating what they did. The first one on was the prime gold medal sewer system. They're reevaluating that. But it needs, and there has been 80% of the people in the inner core of Hadlock who said they would do a LID, local improvement district, which is basically taxing themselves to help with that sewer. So that's the biggest thing.
Okay, that wasn't very lightning.
Yeah, I'll try to be fast. You know, there's a lot to learn, and I think just the scope of the job is something that's really, really daunting. I'm looking forward to jumping into the budget and really working on departmental accountability in the budget and due diligence and transparency.
Okay, that was a fast half hour, wasn't it? John Cook, Greg Brotherton, both attempting to succeed Kathleen Clare, who served a single term as a Democrat and is leaving office for health reasons. This is Charlie Berman for, talking to you live from Compass, KPTZ-FM. Join us next week when we have Jody Wilkie, who is challenging incumbent Mike Chapman for the 24th District Legislative seat. Thank you for listening.
Thanks so much, Charlie.
Okay, cool. That didn't hurt.
Yeah, the flies by. I didn't think it was a problem.
You have been listening to host Charlie Berman conducting an in-studio interview with Republican John Cook and Democrat Greg Brotherton, who are vying to win the 3rd District seat being vacated by County Commissioner Kathleen Clare. This week's KPTZ Compass was written and produced by Charlie Berman and Steve Evans. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. and repeats the following Saturday at noon. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.